Let's do something wicked. Let's do something. Let's do something wicked.
Welcome to Passive Aggressive 101.
Try to see it my way. You'll have to keep on talking till I can't go on. Why do you see it your way? Gonna risk it knowing that our love may soon be gone. We can work it out. We can work it out. Think of what you're saying. You can get it wrong and still you think that it's all right. Think of what I'm saying. We can work it out. Chance that we might fall apart before too long. We can work it out. We can work it out. La 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 la.
Dear suicidal teen, please don't kill yourself. I don't know why you continue to write me because you keep telling me you're going to kill yourself even after I try to console you. Of course I don't want you to kill yourself, but I also don't want to be held responsible if you do. Your last threatening email to me was eloquently put, although it did contain several grammatical errors, I was willing to overlook that and write you back, trying to console you once again. But now, I'm just really, really bothered by you. You're making me feel horrible. I've tried talking you out of it. I've consoled you and encouraged you to talk to a therapist. I've given you a hotline number, and I've even encouraged you to open up to your parents. And yet again, I get another threatening suicidal email. It's making me feel as if I'm no good at consoling a suicidal young teen. I don't know what else to tell you. I lied when I said things are gonna get better. How do I know if things are gonna get better? People suck and they always will suck. You'll just have to build up your shit-taking tolerancy just like everybody else and learn how to survive in this world. How do I put this nicely? On one hand, no one is better than you, and on the other, you're not better than anybody else. The way I see it, and you did ask for my opinion, so I'm gonna give it to you, the only thing left to do here is not to give up and kill yourself, but to just get through high school. Make it through high school, and I promise that life outside of high school will be different. It may not be better, but it will be different. Lastly, I encourage you to seek out a hobby. Find something that you actually enjoy doing. And listing all the things you hate in life and sending them to me in an email, although poetic, is not exactly a good hobby. I suggest something more along the lines of writing poetry. I have a feeling, and it is just a feeling, that you might be really good at it. Just have someone else spell check it before you publish it anywhere. Please do not hesitate to email me again a full year outside of high school and not a moment sooner. Hugs and kisses. Sincerely, Karen Alloy.
practical advice from the man in the mask. If a cop pulls you over and asks you, "Do you know why I stopped you?" don't say yes, because you want to play the Find the Drugs in the Car game, especially if you have drugs in the car. Welcome to Passive Aggressive 101, where we learn how to deal with problems, sort of indirectly, not really. We just kind of skate around the issue and feel good that we're better than everyone else because we are able to miscommunicate with him in a passive-aggressive way.
That's our slogan.
Passive-aggressiveness can be achieved in 8 simple steps. Step 1, smile, nod, and agree. But then don't do a damn thing to change. Yeah, my shit's all over the kitchen. No, I know. No, I totally understand. I leave the clothes in the dryer long after they're dry. Yeah. The second step to passive aggression, of course, is leaving cryptic notes. I think that your hair is clogging the drain, so I'm going to write, "Buy Drano," and put that on your door. You might figure it out, and you might not. Either way, I'm passive aggressive. Step 3, erase phone messages. If you erase phone messages, they'll kind of get the idea that they're not welcome here, and that no one has ever called them here, sort of way. Step 4, break something of theirs. You can take credit for it, but just kind of smile and nod and go, "Yeah, I broke that. That's something I broke. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. It was what I like to call an accident." Accidents are the brothers and sisters of passive aggression. Step 5, leave messes everywhere they hang out. Ooh, yeah, all that shit on the couch. I was gonna move all that later, but I got so busy, I just couldn't, so, you know. Book nook. Yeah, I wanted to open all the books up and lay them out. That's just something I'm into. I like the pictures. Step 6, and possibly the most important step, don't ever make eye contact. Stare instead at their left eyebrow, looking first surprised, and then inquisitively, wondering what the fuck is that on your eyebrow. Step 7, learn how to make things funny. Like, "Isn't it funny how you're always in my f***ing way? Isn't it funny that I hate you? Isn't it funny that I ripped all the pages out of your math book? Isn't it funny that I recycled all of your vintage beer cans from college? Isn't that funny?" And step 8, be playful with your attack. I recommend washing your car, even if it's raining outside, and then turning the hose on your roommate. Ha! They love that. Or making a dookie in their bed while they're at school. I made a green dookie. Take care now, kids. Love you. Bye. Get to it. Make it stop.
When I was younger, so much younger than today. When I was younger, so much younger than today. Never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, I'm not so insecure.
Let's do something. And you're listening to Something Wicked Radio.
Hi, thanks for clicking on me. Allow me to introduce myself. I'm 22 years old. I'm female and I'm screwing up my life. Not intentionally wanting to come across emo, but things always seem more dramatic when you say them out loud. I guess doing so makes it all feel that much more real. What's my problem? For every time somebody has asked me what my problem is, or wondered what is wrong with me, it is like being kicked while you are down. I want to scream out about what is wrong with me, but I need to keep it quiet, because I am ashamed of myself. I want the people who hurt me to know exactly how they make me feel, in the hope that they might cut me some slack, but I wouldn't know where to start. How do you explain what is wrong with you, when what is wrong with you happens to be your entire personality? A normal person has characteristics that don't need to be explained or justified or reflected upon, because most other people have those characteristics, and therefore can relate to their behavior. If you want to know why I am the way that I am, and why I have these personality traits, I would have to take you on a journey through my entire life for you to begin to understand. They call it avoidant personality disorder. I think that the underlying component that typifies APD is this relentless and destructive sense of deep-seated shame. I feel ashamed of myself so much of the time. It's always there, this feeling of shame. I'm just waiting for people to reinforce my belief that I am repulsive and embarrassing, so I am always on edge. I find it difficult to make and maintain friends because I feel socially awkward and inexperienced. But when I do make that connection with somebody, I'm on top of the world. We don't communicate at all well in our household, so I can't talk to my family about anything. When I have a friend, I hold them very dear to me. Sometimes you just need to feel as though one person still likes you, even though you're not perfect. It's the biggest compliment when somebody sticks around and sees good in you, even when it isn't really there. Sometimes I feel so bad about myself that I stop talking to my friends. I don't answer their messages or their calls because I know that they will ask me about myself, and I don't want to talk about myself because I'm feeling down and I don't think they will understand my troubles. They are not real troubles to other people. To other people they are pathetic. But to me, they are real because I'm struggling to function in this world. I think that they will judge me and stop loving me or belittle my problems. They don't need to say anything hurtful or insensitive, they just need to think it, and I back away. Actually, I just need to assume that they might possibly think badly of me. It's enough for me to break off the closest of friendships. I guess I try to preempt the rejection, so I feel as though I'm the one who left, and not the one that was left behind. When I need them the most, when I need help, that's when I push them away, because it's during those hard times, when I'm feeling bad, that my self-esteem goes down. And I don't think anybody wants to be there for me when I'm down, because I'm not good company, so why would they want to be around me? And also, my problems will seem trivial to those who don't understand, and for a person who is very sensitive to sounding stupid or pathetic, it makes you clam up about your problems. When somebody hurts my feelings, I store it in my mind and go over it again and again and analyze what they said, why they would say that, and usually conclude that it is because they don't care about me. And as soon as I believe that somebody doesn't care, I flick this switch and keep them at a distance.
Take them all the way up. Of passive aggressive man.
Hey, I'm going to the grocery store, but I'll be back in half an hour to start dinner.
Oh, okay, fine. I guess I'll just stay here.
Do you want to come?
No. I think I'm just gonna stay here and do nothing.
Oh, come on. You should come with me. I'll get you out from in front of the TV.
No, you know, I think I'm just gonna waste the next half hour of my life doing absolutely nothing. But, thank you. Thanks.
Well, do you want me to pick you up something?
Oh, here's something that'll entertain me for the next half hour. The Weather Channel. Great.
I'm gonna look behind me, like that. Okay, looks like I'm clear.
Have you just turned 16? Are you wanting to learn how to drive better? Then maybe the Passive Aggressive Driving School is the right place for you.
All right, I'm gonna turn out here into traffic.
Oh, this should be fun for you. Yeah, you're absolutely ready for this.
So I'm gonna make a turn here. I'm gonna signal.
Okay, you know, that was fantastic. You actually began your turn before you turned on your turn signal. That's a bold, kind of different way to do it.
All right.
New drivers. Wow, they're fantastic. They're not at all total morons and unsafe out on the highways.
Okay, pulling out without looking both directions like that is certainly one way to go.
I think we got along really well. I think. Maybe you've heard stories about how some driving schools can be crashed and overbearing. Well, here's what you won't see at our driving school.
You have to tell me everything you're doing as you're doing.
All right, now. All right. Okay, I'm going to make a left
turn. What are you doing?
I'm going to make a left turn. I'm going to turn.
What are you doing?
Right here. Left.
What are you doing right now? Now what are you going to do? What's the next step?
I've been teaching driving school for 25 years.
You're a failure as a driver and a failure as a human being. You make me sick. In the jungle, you'd be dead.
A car is not an automobile. A car, when someone is driving it, becomes a deadly weapon.
I found the other driving schools a little too aggressive for my taste.
Pull over! Pull over right now! Pull over the damn car! Pull over! Pull over! Pull over! It's enough! Pull over! Get out of the damn car! That's how you drive in America!
The guy just wasn't in tune with my, you know, laid-back mentality.
Oh!
At the passive-aggressive driving school, you'll never see that. Trust me. But what you will get is good, clean fun.
Follow the traffic and sort of however you feel you should go, or the law. You know, you're right. Maybe just kind of ignore the signs for now.
The passive-aggressive driving school, the one-stop shop for passive-aggressive driving.
It's abusive, but not physically abusive. And there's a big difference.
I think you're a really good driver. Sure, you could work on acceleration, turning, signaling, parking.
Act now, or don't, if you don't care about driving. I mean, what are we here for? I mean, we've done so much for you already just by doing this commercial.
Thanks, Passive Aggressive Driving School. Really.
Send check or money order to the Passive Aggressive Driving School, or keep bumming rides from your friends. People really like that.
And you're listening to Something Wicked.
And now for another adventure of Passive Aggressive Man. Yeah, my life's real funny.
So, I think I'm gonna make spaghetti for dinner tonight.
Oh, great. I just won't eat then.
You don't want spaghetti?
Seriously, I just won't eat anything. You know, you felt the need to exclude me from the decision-making process, so I'll just go to bed hungry. No big deal. Thank you. Thanks.
You don't like spaghetti?
No, I love spaghetti. Just like I loved it the other day when I already had it once this week. It was great. Good choice. Thanks for considering me.
Well, I didn't know.
Yeah, it's funny how it's really hard to know things when you don't ask. Isn't it? I didn't mean that rhetorically, isn't it?
Something Wicked Radio!
We're going to do an exercise together. See, passive people believe you have all the rights, I have none. Passive people believe that if I just hope and wish and pray long enough, maybe something good will happen to me. If I just hope and wish and pray long enough, maybe the problem will go away, does it? What usually happens? Okay, so here's what I'd like everyone to do. This is a group exercise. You've got to work with me on this one. I want everyone please to clasp their hands. I would like everyone to look up at the front of the room where I have just stuck a piece of tape on this chair. And we are all going to concentrate very, very hard. And we are going to stare at that piece of tape. And we are going to hope and wish and pray that the tape will break. Let's go. No, this is serious. Come on. Wouldn't it really scare you if the tape broke? That would spook some of you. Is it fair to say that passive communication is not long-term and sustainable? Would you agree?
Today we're going to talk about one of those things that can really harm your team. What you can do about people who display a passive-aggressive behavior. You know, there are many ways that people at work can cause problems for their team and stop getting work done. One of the most annoying for me is passive-aggressive behavior. So what is it? What can you do about it? And how can you stop yourself doing it? That's what we're going to do with today. First of all, what is it? If you check Wikipedia, it'll talk about an obstructionist resistance to following through on interpersonal or occupational situations. That's what passive-aggressive behavior is. And it manifests itself through a whole set of different conditions. A helplessness, procrastination, stubbornness, resentment, sullenness, or deliberate repeated failure to accomplish the requested tasks for which one is often explicitly responsible. That's what Wikipedia says. Now, some people tell you it's a defense mechanism, and they're doing it only partly consciously. But it's all about what they don't do, and by stopping work, they can really have a very negative effect on the team and can really damage the ability to get work done. So how do you deal with passive-aggressive behavior? Well, I have to tell you, you have to deal with it. You have to take the opportunity to fix this. So if you think you found someone who's exhibiting passive-aggressive behavior, here's what I do. I suggest you collect at least three examples to make your case. Just a one-off thing can be a real dangerous situation. You don't know the context necessarily for that person in that day. As I said, you should document these three things, but also the effect on the team and the timeline of the project. Then you can be open with them and addressing that person directly, or if appropriate, through the manager. If it doesn't improve, you should then escalate higher. You really need to fix passive-aggressive behavior. So how do you stop doing it yourself? Look, the best way to not be passive-aggressive is to really be transparent in your decision-making. Be clear about what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. Now, I know it's a difficult thing to do sometimes, but you've got to learn to say no. It's better to be escalated than to fall in the trap of being passive-aggressive. If you said no and the decision was bad, it'll be reversed, but you'll be respected for your honesty rather than for being passive-aggressive. Look, the bottom line here is passive-aggressive behavior is a cancer that can strike a team. It needs to be treated and removed if that team is going to survive and succeed.
Is there anything more annoying than passive aggressiveness? I'm Paul Crick, killing it. I am so sick of passive aggressive. Where would you learn that? I don't know if that's true. And you know who the number one purveyor of passive aggressiveness is? Me. Comes so naturally. You know, it's being a little empathetic, a little sympathetic, a little downtrodden, just a tiny bit miserable, maybe depressed. Feeling generally put upon by the world and whoever I'm dealing with, like sometimes it'll be a girlfriend. What's the antidote to passive aggressive? Ask for what you want, for the love of mercy. Just put it out there. Otherwise, people will resent you for the effort they have to go through just to read your signals. Because the truth is that what we want is like a vibration. It's like a force in the world. And you can't deny it. You can pretend it's not there and you can move away from it. But people will feel the force. They'll feel your energy. They'll feel your want. And they'll feel that tension of you trying to cover it and of them trying to get over it. And it's just a whole lot of damned effort. When all you have to say is like, here's who I am. And here's what I want right now. And I understand that you may or may not be able to give it to me. And we'll worry about that after I express my want. I'm Paul Crick, killing it.
La 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 la.
If you consider yourself codependent or have been told that you have these traits, it may be as a result of some of the behaviors and tendencies you exhibit with others, particularly in relationships with an addict. However, very similar traits can often be found in those who choose to become involved in other types of relationships where the dynamic is unbalanced, such as an abusive scenario. One of the big indicators of codependent behavior is tolerating abusive or destructive behavior on a regular basis. Here are four signs that you may have codependent. 1. You may tell yourself that whatever bad behavior your partner exhibits, it could be worse. The problem with that theory is that it doesn't excuse or make what is happening okay. It is as if you are comparing natural disasters, a tornado or a flood. Both cause damage, though one may do less than another. It would be far better to avoid both. 2. You might be hiding your partner's behavior from outsiders, or making excuses for it if it is discovered. This may arise out of a sense of wanting to protect your partner's reputation, but also your own. It may be that you feel real shame at putting up with some of your partner's destructive behavior and don't want others to judge you for it or try to intervene. 3. There may be a big part of you that believes you just can't go on without your partner in your life, thus you're willing to take whatever treatment is dished out just to assure the continuation of the relationship. If you announce any consequences or ultimatums, these may slide quickly to the wayside when faced with a follow-through scenario. In this case, anything feels better than nothing in terms of hanging onto the relationship. 4. It may also be the case that you worry your partner cannot go on or function properly in his or her life without you actively participating in it. You may feel guilty and take responsibility in your mind for the worst-case scenario of what may happen to your partner if you leave him or her. It feels more comfortable to be a caretaker or be the majority giver in the relationship than it does to share in an equally balanced, give-and-take relationship. Are you interested in addressing your life challenges from a holistic standpoint, assessing the physical, emotional, and relationship components?
Hi, I'm Patty Gurman, and I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist here in New York City. In this clip, we're going to talk about how to deal with passive-aggressive relatives. Well, I think passive-aggressive anybody, relative or friend, is something that you feel a person is not being direct, they're not being open and honest with you, and I don't think you can change their behaviors. I think it's about understanding what happens to you around these people and how to be able to cope and deal in a more satisfying way without getting angry and without wishing that they are different. So passive-aggressive is when you feel that somebody is going around a bush and not being direct with you about something, and you feel the hurt, you feel the annoyance, and to understand that you have a choice to choose people who aren't passive-aggressive, who can be more direct and more open. This is Patty Gurman in New York City.
I'm busy. What do you want?
Hey, I just need some information on the fourth quarter sales figures.
I don't have that info.
Well, I'm holding right here a cover sheet titled Fourth Quarter Sales Figures, and it's got your name on it. I'm just looking for the rest of the report.
Oh, those sales figures. Right. That was just a draft copy. The final version is locked away in my file cabinet.
Well, look. We already reported the fourth quarter sales figures to the SEC and the press last week. I just need to see the analysis that went into those figures, okay? I'm not asking you to do any work. Just give me the document.
Well, that document is confidential, so I'll need your boss to sign a form X9-118.
Yeah, I had a feeling you might be looking for that, so here is a signed copy.
This isn't the revised version of the form.
Where am I supposed to get a revised version?
I don't know. Guess you're going to have to figure that out on your own.
I love my job.
Reason number 147 to start your own business. Passive-aggressive coworkers.
Hi, Milton.
what's happening.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to have to ask you to go ahead and move your desk again.
No.
If you could go ahead and get it as far back against that wall as possible, that would be great.
No, because I was...
That way we'll have some room for some of these boxes and things we need to put in here.
There's no room.
And, Oh, there it is.
What?
Here, let me just go ahead and get that from you. Great. So, if you could just get to that as soon as possible, that would be terrific, okay? Thanks a bunch, Milton.
Bye. Yeah. Okay. I set the building on fire.
Cool.
Fire! 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 Fire!
This is Seven Phillips. I'm here to encourage you to stop playing the game of passive communication. Passive communication are things like passive-aggressive behavior. When someone is really angry, they're not saying it, but they're behaving like it. It's guilt when somebody isn't happy with with what you're doing, and they're trying to make you feel bad in order to get their own needs met. It's the eye-rolling, it's the nonverbal behavior, it is the silent scorn when someone is really upset, but they're letting you know it by being silent. It's these kind of things where we feel manipulated, we feel controlled, and oftentimes, you know, we're actually playing the game, which is that we're actually trying to mind-read the other person and navigate our day and do what it is that we think they want us to do. And so the first thing to do is to stop doing it yourself. So when you have needs and you have feelings, and you need to be assertive, basically, and just deal with the confrontation. Because if you don't, it's just going to come out sideways. Because when we suppress our needs, it's going to come out anyways, but it's going to come out in a way that isn't pretty and is more damaging to the relationship. So when we're dealing with other people, the first thing we need to do is stop doing what we think they want us to do. That's the game. You stop doing that. And what you have to do is really pay attention and notice when you get a feeling that somebody's not saying something, or, you know, let's say, for an example, you know, when you saying that I'm acting like a baby, are you really saying that you're unhappy with my decision? You know, hey, I've noticed that you've been silent for the last 15 minutes. Is there something that we need to talk about? Things like this. You just need to take basically whatever you feel is going on, have an assumption about it, check it out with the other person, which forces them to be assertive. This is your way of freeing yourself from being controlled by it, and it's also your way to share with the relationship, with the other person, how you want to be with them. So you're no longer playing the game. The trick with this, though, is it's not to have the... you're not doing this because you want to change the other person or you want to teach the other person. You have to really stay away from that. This is really your way of, I don't want to live like this anymore. I want to live a more assertive relationship. I don't want to feel controlled or manipulated and then end up being resentful. And it's your way of kind of saving yourself. So it's a really great practice. It does take time, but it completely works. I've seen it work time and time again. So change yourself. Don't do it. Check out your assumptions when someone else is doing it and continue doing that. And eventually, what the real cool thing is the other person will find that the passive form of communication, which used to work with you, isn't working anymore. And they'll eventually stop doing it because they won't want to do something that doesn't work. Have a good practice, and I'll talk to you later. Thanks.
One, two, three, one, two, three. Hold on. Now, I'm just going to raise this so as it's nearer the bass strings than the top string. Paul's broken at last, Paul's broken at last, he's broke today. Okay. Oh, you ready, Macca? One, two, three, one, two, three.
Here I stand, head in hand. Turn my face to the wall. If she's gone, I can't go on feeling 2 foot small. Everywhere people stare, each and every day. I can see them laugh at me, and I hear them say, got to hide your love away. Hey, you've got to hide your love away. How can I even try? I can never win. Hearing them, seeing them in the state I'm. How could she say to me, love will find a way? Gather round, all you clowns, let me hear you say. Hey, you've got to hide your love away. You've got to hide your love away.
Something Wicked Radio.